Matthew chapter number 6. We did do a printout. You may need a printout for tonight's lesson. If you want to slip your hand up, anyone need one? A couple up here in the front. Daniel, if you'll grab those for us. All right. But turn to Matthew in chapter number 6. Then also turn over to Luke chapter number 11. We'll look at Luke 11, then go to Matthew 6 for the remainder of it. So if you need one, just slip your hand up. Here they come. And so over on this side, Brother Daniel. Appreciate you grabbing those. Anybody else need a handout before we get started? All right. Let's look here in Luke chapter number 11. Again, we continuing our study on prayer and what the Bible says. The lesson tonight is teach us to pray. And we get that from Luke chapter number 11. If you'll look in verse number 1 of Luke 11, it says, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he goes on to say, you know, the very familiar prayer. But I just found it interesting in preparing for tonight that, again, in Luke 11, the disciples went after they heard Jesus pray, after he got done praying. The Bible says specifically when he ceased praying, that they came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. I don't know if you ever stopped and thought about it, but they had heard the Lord Jesus preach many times. They had heard him teach many lessons. I don't find in Scripture at one point where they ever walked to him and said, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to teach, or whatever it may be. I'm not belittling any of that. There was something about his time and prayer that the disciples, after hearing that, said, we need that. And we have no idea that kind of relationship. So they asked to be taught to pray. And so the Lord tells them, he gives them some instructions. It's found in Luke 6, but it's also a little bit more detailed in Luke 11, but in Matthew chapter number 6. So we have some further teaching of the whole, that's a little bit, we see what happened in that scenario, but we see some more detail in Matthew chapter number 6 as the Lord gives them this lesson on teaching them to pray. And I just want to read here Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse number 5. We'll read down to verse number 15. It says, follow along. It says, when thou prayest, I shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you give not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray and look at this lesson, how the Lord taught them to pray. Father, I thank you so much for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you for the scripture. God, help us again as we study this great topic. Lord, the more I study it, the more I realize too that how much I need to learn. Lord, we all, Lord, need to kind of be like the disciples tonight. Lord, just sit at the feet of your word and ask you to teach us to pray. Lord, please help us in this. Lord, we just give you the glory for what we know you're going to do. Lord, I love you. In your name I pray. Amen and amen. Let's look at this real quick tonight, if you would. The Lord gives some instruction on teaching them to pray. Number one, starting in verse number 5, I believe we see here that the Lord tells them to pray genuinely. To pray genuinely. What do we mean by that? Well, letter A underneath that, not a show. When we pray, we don't need to put on a show. Let's read verse number 5 again, and we'll talk about it. Jesus says, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." You know, the Lord, the very first lesson he gives the disciples here is to, when they pray, just to pray from the heart, to be real, that you don't need to impress anybody. You don't need to put on a show. I've been around, and I get it too. I was at this place in my life where, you know, I've been around some and said, you know, I don't know how to pray, you know, and it's simply just talking, right? And you don't even have to verbally. It's just communicating with God. But I've also seen some, I think, who are trying to impress God with their vocabulary. You know, they get up and say all kinds of words that, you know, you need a dictionary to understand half their prayer. And if that's from the heart, amen. But I, unfortunately, have seen both sides of that. But the Lord instructs us, and there's a reason, because it's a temptation for us. But he tells us not to put on a show. I wrote down three things, kind of being humorous, I guess, in some ways. But by not a show, we don't need to have a talent show. You don't need to impress God or anybody else. We're not going to impress God. I promise there's nothing I've ever done in my entire life that impressed God, all right? But it's not a show. It's not a talent show to impress God. It's not a game show. You're not trying to get increased from God. If I say the right things, God may send a jackpot to me. That's not what we're doing. And it's not a new show. We're not informing God or other people. That's not what we're doing. I have to be, sometimes my mind switches gears and, you know, during, especially just being honest as a pastor, but sometimes during an invitation, I'll pray for the invitation. Then if I'm not careful, I can end up preaching during the prayer, trying to get people to hear it again. But that's not what prayer is for, right? Prayer is talking to God, and just pray genuinely. I guess the reality is, take a deep breath. You just enjoy your prayer time with the Lord. You're not impressing him. You're not trying to, you know, twist his arm or trick him into doing something or disguising something. We're not hiding anything from him. Just be real. Not a show, and it's not to be a scene. We're not there to, you know, get everyone's attention. We read in our text there, they said that the hypocrites love to stand there and to get people to look at them and to hear their fancy words and to put on a show for themselves or whatever the case may be. Quite simply stated, when you pray, just talk to God. Just pour your heart out. Just as you do sitting down to someone that you're acquainted with, you talk to God. You know, I get it too, and we'll talk about it tonight, about showing reverence and that he is God, and I understand that as well. But God doesn't want us to, you know, be shy and timid and scared to come to him. Matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. He tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. He wants us to come, but when you come, talk to him. And I know for some, you're like, well, of course. But there are some people that struggle with this. There are some that say, I don't know what to say to God. The same thing you're saying right now. What do you mean? Tell God you don't know what to say to him. Just talk to him. Just speak to him. Tell him what you did today. And share your fears, your anxieties, your joys, your thrills, your failures, your successes. I mean, in the same way, you know, when my wife came home today, you know, she walked, she sat it there. She told me about her day. The girls sat down today. They told me about the school day and told me what they did. And we just enjoyed each other's company. That's what God wants. He wants you just to talk to him. So pray, number one, genuinely. Number two, pray secretly. Pray secretly. In verse number 6, it says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly." So pray secretly. Letter A, underneath that, number one, it's a choice. Again, it says in verse number 6, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet." You know, you have to make a choice to enter into this time with the Lord. You're not going to have a prayer life if you don't choose to have a prayer life. I know that's like obvious, but yet at the same time, some people say, you know, I don't know, I just don't have a good prayer life. Well, you have to choose to stop and pray. You know, I don't have much time I spend with the Lord in prayer. Then make time. You have to set aside time. And if I can just be extremely practical today, you know, you have to set a time aside if you're going to have this time with the Lord. The best time is in the mornings. I think that's probably the most, you know, if you will, for some, the best time to, you know, before activity started, because we live in a world today with everything so much at our fingertips that once you start the day, it's hard to turn it off, right? And we get going. But some, it's not possible. Some are getting up at, you know, weird early morning hours, and you know, you're trying to squeeze as much sleep as you can and doing all this, and that's fine too, all right? The Bible doesn't say you have to pray in the morning, right? But if that morning time is not available, then make a time later in the day. The one time that you have to be careful about, I'm just saying from practical experience, is if you make your prayer time the end of the day. Because if you do that, a lot of times it's the end of the day and we struggle. We're fatigued. You know, we end up just kind of starting praying and we start to kind of drift off sometimes. And so not that it's wrong, but there's a danger there. But number, I guess, just set a time aside. If you have to start early in the mornings, take a time in the afternoon when you first get off. Or, you know, but set it aside. Because if you don't, you won't. So you have to choose to spend this time with God. So letter A, it's a choice. Secondly, I see communion. It's that fellowship. We talked about that a lot last week, so we won't so much this week. But in verse number 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray who are you praying to? Thy Father. And your Father seeth you. Notice here that there's a relationship going on. You're talking to him and he has his attention towards you. There should be a communion there, a fellowship. And just, again, I love the title he chose here in teaching prayer. We're not going to, and he is, the omnipotent king. He is to be feared, and reverend is his name. I'm not taking nothing away from that, but God didn't say, when you pray, call me the reverenced, holy, omnipotent, omniscient God. There's a reason he said these words, Father. Because he wants to have that relationship with us and that fellowship. So it's a choice, there's communion, but I focus on this word here. Number 3, or letter C, closet. It says, when we pray secretly, there it says, when you enter into thy closet. That word closet is a pretty awesome word when you study it out. It's only used about 3 times in the Bible, and it's in our Bible comes across as closet, I think, twice, and in one other time, this other word, but it's the same word. You know I don't do this a whole lot, but if you study it out, there's nothing wrong with getting a dictionary out when you're studying the Bible, and there's nothing wrong with a good Strong's Concordance that tells you, you know, words you can study, and that's great too. This word is the Greek word tamion. All right, but it's used here. Look real quick, because you'll appreciate this, I think. Look in Luke chapter number 12. In Luke chapter number 12, it's a very special word. In Luke chapter number 12, it's only used a few times, and here's a great illustration of it. Luke chapter 12, and here in this passage of Scripture, he's teaching the disciples. We talked about this passage, a parallel of it, in verse 22, Luke chapter 12. He says to his disciples, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what shall you eat, neither for the body, what shall you put on. For life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. That word storehouse is that same word. That word tameon. What it means in the way it's used is the wealthier men back in those days, they didn't have a whole lot of banks. They didn't have a whole lot of, you know, safe places to keep. So what they did, they had a tameon. What it was a secret place in their house that they stored their treasure. I'll let you stop and meditate on that. Think about it for a second. That's what the word means. You see it there. The ravens don't even have their own Tommy on. They don't have no place where they store up a bunch of stuff, but God takes care of them. Luke chapter number 12. And the Lord says here, when you pray, enter into your Tommyon. That secret place where the treasure is. That ought to make you at least want to smile, all right? I mean, that's a wonderful thing that the Lord used that. It's our prayer should be to us as a storage chamber, as a secret room, a treasure room, if you will. It's a place where we can go and receive from the Lord. That word is the same kind of word used, and you'll know this verse from Proverbs. You want to jot the reference down. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9 and 10. I'll read it to you real quick. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9 and 10. It's the same word. But it says there, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Same thing. All right. But the fact is this, that the idea there is that God is telling us to make a choice, set apart a time of your day, talk to the Father, and enter into this treasure room. I don't have time to take you through the Bible tonight and show you how the Lord is rich in mercy, in love, in joy, grace. No wonder he says we go to him, we'll find what we need. Come boldly to the throne of grace, and you'll find help in your time of need. But I see here, pray secretly. Letter A, it's a choice. Communion, closet. Then letter D, you see also in this verse that it's confidential. It's confidential. It says there again in the verse, back in verse number 6, it says, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door. The idea there to shut the door. Now, is that meaning a literal closet where you have to go pray? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's something you'd like to do, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, and I'm sure it has its advantages. Today, you know, I was telling Brother Jordan before church started. Normally on Thursday, Brother Price arranged things. On Thursday, I do not teach. Normally, my normal schedules get here. We leave about 8:45. We go to nursing homes. We get back about 12:45, 1 o'clock from our nursing home services. And then I commit from 1 till church time. It's just pure study time on Thursday. And Brother Slee usually brings me a tea about halfway through that. Although last week I had him bring me a coffee. That was good. But in any case, you know, that's normally what I do on Thursdays. But, I had to change propane companies. You don't care about that. But, they had to do an inspection on my tank. I had to be there today sometime between 11 and 1. But you know how that happens, right? So, you know, so I arranged, Brother Slee did the nursing home for me. And so I told Brother Slee, I'm just taking everything home Wednesday night. And I'm just going to set up shop right there in the house. And so I got up this morning. My family left. I got up and I got ready. Then I did some grocery shopping for my parents, had their stuff. And I was back home by 10. And, you know, I just had a wonderful time studying and praying. It is much quieter and in my empty house than in the school building. But it was just a wonderful time of just no distractions. Propane guy showed up at 1:40, I think. But, you know, no distractions and just able to spend, you know, was able to get on my knees, talk out loud to God. And just, it was a wonderful time. And the idea here is not necessarily that you have to, like, get in a room and lock the door. But it means this, that when you pray, you put everything else out. Turn everything else off. Shut the door behind you when you go to pray. Be occupied with God and nothing else. We live in a world today, like I said earlier, their phone. I mean, I can pay for my lunch at McDonald's with my watch. I mean, it's just crazy what we can do now, right? And there's so many things that just scream at us to distract us And it's really important that we as Christians learn the ability to put everything away. Even in church, in a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. Put everything else away. Your concerns for tomorrow, your thoughts, you know, need to get gas in the car, whatever it is, right? The propane bill's coming, right? You know, whatever it is, all right? But put all that stuff away and just talk to God. When we spend that time with the Lord, it should be just us and Him. I read one author this afternoon studying for this, and he said, when we preach, we speak to people for God, but when we pray, we speak to God for people. And even in public prayer, our time with God should be private. Another way of saying it's the way I've been saying it for a while now. Don't be an audience during prayer. Be a participant. Someone, without a doubt, in a few moments, the Lord doesn't come back, someone will be standing and leading us in prayer. That doesn't mean we sit there and listen to them. We should be engaging in prayer. When we bow our head, we should lock the door behind us and talk to Him. Don't allow distractions. Don't allow things. And I get it. That's when the phone rings. That's when someone knocks on the door. I know. But I think the devil's not stupid either. He tries to interrupt us as well. But it's important that we set this time aside and we understand that this is me and God. I think I put this on your notes. You know, we can pray for one another, but we cannot pray instead of one another. In other words, I can pray for you, but I can't do your praying. And God in this verse says, but thou. And it's really important in the first part because He's going to shift gears in a minute. But He's saying, this is what you need to do. And when we pray in a moment, the whole purpose of these lessons this year is to help us in our prayer life, and it's helping me already too. But when we pray, we need to shut the door behind us, even tonight. I'm not saying we're going anywhere. We'll stay right in the auditorium. But turn off life. Turn off our thoughts of what we're going to do tomorrow, this week, this weekend. Just talk to God. And don't just sit there and listen to other people pray. Engage in prayer. You know, I had someone look at me and say, I can't pray. What do you say more than 5 minutes, right? And I've been there too. I have been there. It's the same fear that I had. You know, I told you this before. When I first started seeing my wife, you know, I would practice with Crystal things I was going to talk about, all right? I would go through it, and, you know, I'd say, now, what else can I say? What else can I say? Because I didn't want to sit there and stare at her, have nothing to say, all right? You know, trust me, that's not an issue now. She never stops talking, all right? You know, it never ends, all right? And she's in a nursery. We have no problem communicating, all right? Because once you spend time, you build a relationship, that fear is removed. So just start. You got to start. So we got to go on. Number three, pray definitely. In verse number 7, it says, but when we pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Pray definitely. I just have these few thoughts underneath there, right? Number one, letter A, act real. Again, I've already said it, but I think you see the same thought here. It says, use not vain repetition, right? Just talk to God. Letter B, avoid repetition. It says there, when you pray, use not vain repetitions. I taught one time a new members class in Sunday school, and that was a really enjoyable class. People that had been visiting the church or just got saved or weren't even saved, they were coming to find out what it was all about. And one time, you know, I always led in prayer. One time, this guy that had visited the church, he said, can I try to lead us in prayer Sunday school? We were over in a conference room. I was like, sure. You know, and he said, I pray all the time. I was like, oh, great. That's great, right? And he started praying, and he basically prayed this prayer that's below here. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he went through that prayer. And that was great. Awesome, right? And that was a wonderful thing. But later on, he told me, as we studied prayer, he said, I thought that's what you had to say. Because he had a Catholic background, and he said, that's what I thought I had to say. That was how we prayed. And, you know, a vain repetition, just repeating the same thing over and over again, God bluntly says, don't do it. But I think some people do because they're thinking that in some way it's kind of maybe punishing themselves. And you know, so what do you mean by that? Some people confess, and their spiritual leader will tell them to say this prayer so many times, and God will forgive you. And they'll sit there and repeat this same prayer repeatedly as a way of kind of punishing themselves or getting things right with God that's mad at them. When God says you don't do that, so well, I want to get right with God, then confess your sin. That's it. We confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. But avoid vain repetition. You know, and before you say, yep, them Catholics, I'm telling you what, they do that. And they do. You know, or you know, whatever religious group you want to say, they do, but so do Baptists. You know, Lord, thank you for this day. Bless this food to our body and give us a good night. Amen. Lord, thank you for another church service. Speak to our hearts. Bless this offering. Be with the gift and the giver. Right? And there's nothing wrong with anything I just said. Unless it's just something you do without any heart behind it. That's vain repetition. Now, I hope I didn't offend you, but that's what it is. Wait, it's the same way as we using God's name in vain. I believe there's probably some that in prayer break that commandment. What does it mean to use God's name in vain? Use his name flippantly, lightly, without reverence, without respect, just throwing his name around, right? I mean, if you get mad, someone gets mad and they shout the name of Jesus or something like that and just throwing his name around, there isn't much difference there. And just sitting there, you know, God, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we don't even think about who we're talking to. We even sometimes snicker during our prayer because we said something. Stop and think who we're talking to. I'm not saying we've done it. I'm just saying we ought to consider it. Amen. I'm just winning friends tonight. Should have Brother Hoddle preach, all right? All right, but number three, act real. Avoid repetition. Thirdly, appreciate the relationship. It says again in verse number 7, when we pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, but they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. They think they've got to earn God hearing them. When we pray, should just be thankful for the relationship that God hears us. I'm not praying to try to get God to listen to me. I should pray because I know God is listening to me. There's a big difference there. But we ought to pray. We're not having to beg God, like, you know, begging God for a treat or earning some reward. Friends, the devil wants Christians to see prayer as us trying to get a hold of an unapproachable God, when the Lord wants us to see prayer as us talking to someone with their ear bent towards us and their arms open wide. There's a big difference there. Number 4, pray fraternally. Now we get down to the next few verses, verse number 8 and 9. It says, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. So, again, I say fraternally because he's going to talk about the Father here. And I have two things I have written underneath that, I think. Letter A, we have a loving Father. We all should be thankful for that. He's watching. He's willing. He's wanting. And you understand what I mean by this last term? He's wealthy. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, he's got a big bank account. I'm just saying he can do whatever he wants to do. And we have a Father
who is listening to us in that way. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, you imagine if, you know, I'm totally make this up here. All right, let's say that Brother Elijah Grimm, most of us don't really know his father that well. Let's say Elijah Grimm's father is just loaded, man. I mean, he just has millions upon millions of dollars. He doesn't, does he, Brother Grimm? No, all right. But let's say he is, and he tells Elijah, hey, anything you have in need, you come. I love you, son. I want to help you out, son. And when Elijah actually has a need and he goes to his dad sits there and goes, wait, I'm listening. I want to help. Let me do. And he has unlimited resources. I think Elijah feels pretty good about that. He has a, you know, a propane bill he wants to help his pastor out with, right? You know, I don't know. But let's, no, I'm just kidding. Right? But, let's say he goes to him and asks, is this need? But he's confident that my father loves me and wants to take care of me. He's going to help me. That's a good feeling. That's the way we should feel every time we pray. That's the relationship we ought to have. But I say a loving father, but then I have, letter B there, a large family. Now, this is why I use that word fraternally. Look what it says here. Now, again, before that, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou shut thy door, when ye pray, use not vain repetition. Now, look how things change. Be not therefore likened to them, for your father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, watch this. What's the next word? Are. Not just you anymore, right? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth that is in heaven. Give, what's the next word? Us. This day our daily bread. And forgive what? Us. What's the next word? Our debts. As, what's the next word? We forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver. We're not in this alone. The Lord, in giving us instructions to pray, says, and a lot of times we can be guilty of this. We get some, if we're not careful, we can get overwhelmed in our own prayers. I didn't know I was having it that bad until I started praying, right? I just started telling God all my problems, and boy, I got a lot of problems, all right? But the Lord says, when you pray, pray for each other. May your focus not just be on you, but on the entire family. Amen? Y'all have to see that, right? Yeah, there it is, all right? It kind of changes the focus there. We're praying for, instead of me and forgive me and give me what I need, it's about others and focusing on others. It's just a common theme in the scriptures. God wants our focus not to be on ourselves, but on other people. And in our prayer life, the same. If that one thought, if you slept through the rest of the message, that thought should make you want to think when we start praying again. That God, in teaching them and giving them a model prayer, made the focus on all of us. Pretty interesting. Pray fraternally. Number five, pray reverently. In verse number 9, the second part, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pray with reverence. Why? Without a doubt, we can cry Abba Father or Daddy. He is our Father. He wants that relationship. We should still not forget who it is we're speaking to. And that shouldn't be something that's really difficult, all right? I went, like I said this morning, to my parents' house. And, you know, I was telling Brother Tyler the other day, anytime I ever stop at my parents' house, it's not a quick visit. There's always, I can expect it. There'll be a list of things I have to do before I leave, all right? And that's great. That's why I stop. That's why they live there, right? Zero complaints. It's just, you know, I'm not going to stop in and just say hi. I will take out the garbage, paint a wall, and replace a fixture, right? It's just, that's life, right? But, and that's great, and that's wonderful, while I went there today, and I called him Dad. How you doing, Dad? He told me how he's been feeling, and, you know, we had a conversation. Called me son when I walked in. We had this conversation. And while I have that very familiar relationship with him, I still treat my father with respect and reverence as well. While I have that open relationship where I can call him Dad, I still would not mistreat him or talk to him flippantly either. There's still a mutual thing there. And we should do the same with the Lord. I wrote down two things underneath this. We had an A, Careful not to be too comfortable. Careful not to be too comfortable. And then B, careful not to be have too much cursing. And I've already addressed that with our vain repetition. What do you mean cursing? Just throwing his name out there flippantly. Just put some thought. I'm not saying it's wrong to say, dear God, we should say, dear God. I'm not saying it's wrong to say, and Lord, help us with this. That's great. As long as we're thinking about what we're doing and not going through some empty prayer, saying one thing with our mouth, but thinking about something else in our mind. We got to be careful there. Number six, pray hopefully. We'll speed it up. Pray hopefully. Verse number 10, thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. I love this. You know, while we have this loving familiarity with our God as we pray, there also is a loyalty there. He is king. It says, thy kingdom come. Two things underneath that. When we pray, we should keep in mind, number one, his sovereignty. Isn't that wonderful? He is king. So no matter what I'm about to share with him, I am talking to someone who can change anything he wants to change. Because he's the king. So I see sovereignty there, and then I also see a reminder about his second coming. Thessalonians says, I'll be teaching my Sunday school on Sunday morning, that we're going to face tribulations in this life, but we should be able to comfort each other with the thought that someday, and it could be today, he's coming back. He's going to take us out of here. There'll be 7 years of tribulation. There will be the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Eternity will begin. And I don't think this is a spoiler for anybody. God wins. What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is. And that's the God who we're talking to. So I say pray hopefully because when we pray, we are recognizing your king, God, thy kingdom come. You are king, you are in charge, and one day it's all going to be okay. No matter what my request I'm about to share is, someday it'll all be behind me. And all will be right. Amen? So pray hopefully. Number seven, pray submissively. Verse number 10, continually. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The idea here, and then I'll give you the 3 points, is this. In heaven, angels are the servants of God. They do what God tells them to do. Amen? I mean, there's not a chance. When God told Gabriel to go on a task, or Michael to go do something, told Gabriel to go talk to Mary or Joseph or whatever the case may be. When he told him that, Gabriel did not say, you know, God, I got a schedule going on here. I might be able to squeeze it in tomorrow. That's ludicrous. When God tells anyone in heaven to do something, it is done. Nothing's going to stop it. No one's going to delay it. It is done. And so we are to pray, the Lord says, with the same idea. As his will is done in heaven, God, may I be just as submissive to your will here on earth. May I just follow you and obey you and do what you want me to do. The three thoughts I had, letter A, his will is law. That's the way it is in heaven. Whatever is his will is, it will be done. His will is law. Letter B, his way is right. Whatever his way is, that's the right way. And thirdly, his want is mine. Whatever God wants in heaven is what the angels want in heaven. Whatever his way is in heaven is the right way. Whatever his will is, that's the law. You following me? That's the way it is. And so we, when we pray, we should have the same attitude that God, your will guide my life today. May I follow you. Your way, may I be submissive. That's the right way. The things you want, may I want the same things. By the way, that would be to live a holy life, a life that honors God, conscious of lost souls, being a witness for him. That's God's will for every one of us. Number 8, pray dependently. Verse number 11. I think two words underneath that. I wrote two in words, now and necessary. Now and necessary. What do we mean by that? Give us this day. The idea there with this day is right now. Give me now for this day what is necessary, the daily bread. The idea here, which would be, I think, an easy illustration to help me to grasp this. I think it will you too. Remember when Israel was traveling through the wilderness? And every day God gave them something to eat. What was that every day that they got to eat? Manna. Now, manna came down, and how much were they to get? Enough for the day. Right? If they got too much, it rotted and stank. And there was enough for their needs for that day. When we pray, we should pray, all right, God, here I am today. Give me what is necessary for me to live my life for you today. And here's the facts. We all have different needs. Tomorrow morning, if we all got up at 6 in the morning and we all prayed this prayer, we're all probably asking for something different from God. Because I will need something different from the Lord to live my life for his will tomorrow than probably what you will. I will not be in blue ash at work with the Morgans. They're going to need wisdom, discretion. They're going to have to be a witness to, you know, to people. They're going to have to make decisions, guarantee it. I will not need for my daily life tomorrow what Brother Schwartz will, or Brother Hotta will, or Brother Wilson will. I will not need what Austin will need. He will need special gifts to make a free throw. All right, that'll be awesome, right? Yeah, all right. But the fact is, we're all going to need something from God to meet his will for our life, because his will for my life is not his will for your life tomorrow. So we need to pray every day instead of, again, we're all guilty of it, just giving those generic prayers. You know, God, meet the needs today. Well, what needs? Then you say, well, God knows. He does. I get that. But it does us good to talk to him about it. You know why we don't praise him more? Because we don't recognize how he meets our needs more. So spend the time with him, but pray dependently, all right? I wrote this simple statement down. I read it somewhere. I thought it was good. We have a God that knows. Then if we have a child who kneels, we'll end up with a life that knew he is faithful. God knows our needs. If we'll take the time to kneel and pray, we will be able to testify that my God is faithful. Number 9, two more. Number 9, pray penitently. Verse number 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Kind of give some more thoughts on that in verse 14 and 15. We won't do tonight, but the idea there is it's part of this prayer. Yet, again, in verse number 12, and forgive us our debts. We, number one, a catch this, church, is so important. We need to accept God's forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. I guess I should probably start, we need to acknowledge our sin, right? I didn't put that in your notes, but every one of us, we fall short. Probably, I know positively on my own part, daily. I can look back every day and I'm sure find something I can today. And if you're honest, you can too. A thought, a reaction, a word, an act. But we need to get that right with God daily. Keep a clean slate. Because if you don't keep removing these things between you and God, it begins to disrupt your fellowship with God. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, Lord will not hear us. we build a wall of separation between us and the Lord when we don't get sin dealt with. So we should acknowledge that, but we should accept God's forgiveness. I say that, and I started there in my notes because this, our God is ready to forgive. Our God, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? Forgive. Not when we beg, not when we plead. We just got to confess it. God, and again, I think sometimes it'd do us a whole lot of good in our help of praising God if we stopped and actually thought about it. Not again, vain repetitions. God, forgive me where I failed you. I've done it. You've done it. It'd do us good tonight. You say, well, someone's praying. What all can I talk to God about? Let's do business right here tonight. Let's start bringing back things. There's a verse, and won't go. Something that really changed our family's life and still does. As I was taught a few years ago, how the Bible teaches we can give place to the devil. Now, the devil can't have my soul. I'm saved. He can't have your soul if you're saved. But what you can do is give him place in your life. Every time we choose to get angry, every time we choose to sin, every time we choose to covet, to look, to gossip, to lie, to steal, cheat, to just whatever it may be, we give him place if we don't get it right. Confessing these sins, getting them right with the Lord, helps to take that ground back. Take that ground back. And you and I, bottom line is this, if we confess it, he forgives us. There is never an issue with God choosing whether to forgive or not. Here's the issue. Us accepting God's forgiveness. A lot of people don't pray because they think God should be mad at them. Newsflash, he should be. But he chooses not to be. How can he do that? He's God. In the same way that he takes our sin and casts them as far as the east is from the west and buries them in the sea of forgetfulness, they're gone. You say, but when I pray, I can only think about this sin that I committed. Did you confess it? Well, yes. Then you need to accept God's forgiveness. He forgave you. It seems so easy. A lot of things do, but let God be true and our own thoughts a liar. But I just don't think, it doesn't matter what you think, what does God's word say? God said that he is forgiving you. So we have to accept God's forgiveness. And you see in the verse, as we do that, it allows us to give our forgiveness. It says there again, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I just taught Sunday school class on this in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 last couple of weeks. But the fact is this, we need to be always willing to forgive each other. And I told them in teaching that if you're struggling with forgiving someone for something, it's because you need to go back and remind yourself how God is forgiving you. God did not forgive me because I earned it. God did not forgive me because I deserved it. God did not forgive me because I ask enough. God forgave me for one reason. Ready? For Christ's sake. Forgave me because his son paid that penalty and desires my forgiveness. And I should forgive others for the same reason, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know how I forgive other people? By reminding myself that God chose to forgive me based on what Christ did and Christ's desire, and I am going to choose to forgive others based upon what Christ did and Christ's desire. It helps us to forgive. But pray penitently. Lastly, pray cautiously. Verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pray cautiously. Letter A, surrender to the will of God. Lead us not into temptation. I've preached on this before. I don't need to spend a lot of time on it. The Lord's not instructing us to pray that God doesn't take us towards temptation. James chapter number 1 says very clearly that God tempts no man. God is not going to dangle some sin in front of your face to see if you'll bite it or not. God doesn't work that way. So what does he mean, lead us not into temptation? It simply means this: God, you be in charge of my life, because my flesh would love to go towards temptation. So would yours. My flesh would be drawn to worldly things. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is powerful in every one of our lives. That is a constant draw on us living in this world. And so what we're saying in this is, God, you have control of my life, because me and my own, I'll go that way. But you lead me. Lead me so I don't go into this temptation. So we surrender to the will of God. Let it be. You see safety in the way of God. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If we follow God's plan for our life, there's safety there. There's protection. It's true for my life. It's true for your life. Whether you're 13 or 93, the fact is this: if we allow ourselves to go towards sin, it causes destruction every time. But if we follow the way of God, God promises his peace and protection. So surrender to the will of God, safety in the way of God. Lastly, a song for the worshiping of God. Notice how the prayer ends. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. When we follow God's way, stay on the right path, we're all going to sing the same song. And it is not, I did it, I'm successful, I achieved it. We're all going to sing the same song. For thine is the kingdom. It's all about your power, and it's all about your glory. Amen. If we don't follow God's will, always tragedy. I love the quote. I don't know who said it. Talking about this verse right here. But the quote goes this way: it's better to have a fence at the top of the cliff than a hospital at the bottom. Let God keep us where we need to be. The far better path. And we can sing his praises. Disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. There's some great lessons there. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you for our study tonight on prayer. God, much to learn. I thank you for what all you showed me and taught me so much. Lord, these first 3 weeks,